90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today we're going to continue our conversation with Cindy Murphy, who is the owner of Downsizing Simplified, a local company that helps you downsize your life and maximize your pleasure and enjoyment. Good morning, Cindy. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Joseph, for having me.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself again?
Yes. Excuse me. I haven't used my voice that much. So, yes, the company was started in 2007, March of 2007. So we are starting our 15th year of business and serving primarily the senior community in their downsizing needs, but we do work with others besides seniors. I am a local Kansas Cityan, born and raised here in Lee Summit, actually. But so that's a little bit about me and the business.
And you have a website for the people that want to learn more about you and what downsizing. Can you give out that website and that contact information, ma'am?
Absolutely. It's www.downsizingsimplified.com, and that's available mobile and computer or tablet. And the office number, 816-358-6338.
So, Cindy, what was the event in your life that triggered you getting started doing downsizing and helping people downsize their lives?
The business was actually concepted out of a family situation back in 2006. My father became ill, and then my mother became his full-time caregiver. And as she went through her steps of caregiving for a couple of years, I watched as she, you know, not only did the things she needed to do, but also some of those struggles and obstacles that she had to overcome while being a caregiver. So, and then after he passed, the steps that she had to go through in order for her to downsize. So that is where the company was concepted from.
Cindy, what is Downsizing Simplified?
We're a business that provides several services to the downsizing community. And those services are listed, first of all, on the website and can be printed out or whatever. For those who don't have access to the internet, they can call and I can mail information to them. But we provide a number of services. We're more than just a pack and move service. So we can provide a number of things, from finding a new place to live to having an estate sale and everything in between.
One of the things I was reading is that when you enter a home, why do you encourage people to leave things as they are?
For the estate sale portion?
No, I'm saying when you come to first value, look at a client to see if you can work with them, you encourage people to leave things as they are. Don't try to clean up before you get there, move things around.
Oh,
why is it
yes,
important
that's true.
To people to leave things where they are?
Well, it just gives me a better idea of what their needs might be. So it's just kind of an overview during that consultation to be able to observe how they live day to day, and then going from there, be able to talk about perhaps a plan for them on downsizing and moving forward in a smaller living environment, for instance.
Why are timelines and dates important when the decision has been made to downsize?
The dates are extremely important because it keeps people on track with completing all the tasks that are involved in the downsizing process. So, example real quickly is if you have sold your home, for instance, and you have a closing date and a move date, those are important dates to pay attention to and to work backward from in order to put a timeline in place of tasks that need to be completed on time.
There is a process to downsizing. Can you talk about that process to downsizing and steps that people may need to take?
Yes. The first is just making the decision. Now, that's a hard one because so many people do have a problem with, they may know that it's time for whatever reason, health, the home, whatever. But just making that decision is a big one, and first and foremost. Finding that new place to live is also very important. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to live for the remainder of my life, for instance, or short term, whichever. Then the sorting and paring down of possessions. That's another area in the process that can be very, very hard for seniors or for anyone actually making those decisions. Then packing and moving, getting that mover set up, getting everything packed up, scheduling that mover, supervising them, and is a big deal as well. Also, preparing your home for the real estate market. If you have a home you're going to put on after you move, making sure it's show ready for a potential buyer. And then having a sale after you've moved if there's enough content left in the home.
Cindy, how can a process make something that may seem or feel impossible to accomplish seem like it's completely doable?
Well, I think a lot of times working, and I'm not putting ourselves out there as the answer, but having someone to work with, having someone to coach you along, to encourage you, to say, we met another goal, yay, gold star. Actually looking at the process in small steps versus a huge undertaking is also very helpful.
Cindy, we are just barely beginning to come out of the pandemic, but during the pandemic, did you see many seniors delay downsizing or making a transition to that next living space due to the pandemic?
We did. We saw quite a few. We had local moves that were canceled, but we also had long distance moves that were put on hold for several months. So yes, for our business, we did see quite a slowdown.
So as we come out of it, are you seeing business pick up? People call and say, I want to look at now getting, back scheduled to be able to look at downsizing, transition to that next place where they want to live in the golden years?
Yes. Yes, we've had several calls and several jobs that were put on our schedule, and the process has a beginning and an end, of course, and a lot of times, and we encourage this, even if the customer thinks they want to do this, that they want to downsize. Having a consultation early is really important. So we've been doing a lot of consultations for future moves.
And I know a lot of people are concerned about COVID, and when you go in to go meet people, is that something that you can sit and say, well, I've been vaccinated, you know, so can I put their mind at ease? Or how do you handle that particular situation when it comes up?
Absolutely. Every new client that we see, potential client we see, I always approach the door with my mask on and ask if they've been vaccinated, and let them also know that I have been fully vaccinated, which puts their mind at ease. And so far, we have had all of our consultations where the seniors have been fully vaccinated.
So do you have the ability to do a interview or a session via Skype, Zoom, one of the other processes, if somebody were to request that type of meeting, appointment?
We don't, primarily because we work with seniors, and many, many seniors are, you know, just are not that technologically savvy. Now, when their children are involved, when their adult kids are involved, that could be a possibility. But with COVID and vaccinations happening, we like to meet face-to-face. And that also gives me an opportunity during that consultation to be able to do a walkthrough of their home and kind of assess what is going to need to be done.
So, Cindy, what is the best way to get a person to start to downsize?
Well, it's an individual decision, of course. A lot of times, the kids, the adult children, are involved. Things have happened to mom or dad. They have fallen, health issues, those types of things. And you just hope that the senior realizes that it may be time or close to time. One of the things that we do hear a lot from adult children where they call for a consultation and they say, I think we're close in making a decision. I think mom or dad finally realizes that maybe it's close to time. But you just hope that the senior kind of realizes themselves that it's time to downsize.
And I know I had a friend of mine, she used to live in the metropolitan area, and she moved away to Texas, and one of her big things was she didn't want to leave her parents because they were in their mid-70s at the time. So when she moved, then they downsized, they were helped to downsize, and then they moved with her. Is that a situation that people can also look at, you know, maybe the circle becoming full, the child moving back in with the parents and downsizing that way?
Yes, there's a lot of different scenarios. That's one. In fact, we did a consultation this week where a son who's still working and can work remotely moved from Los Angeles back to Kansas City in order to live with the folks until a decision was made to downsize. Health issues surrounded this move. But yes, I mean, a lot of seniors who, let's say, retired and moved away to Florida, wherever, Texas, they're now coming back to the area in order to be close to family. So it can work a lot of different ways. We helped a client move to Chicago last year who was moving to be close to their daughter. So it can be it can go a lot of different ways.
And I know you see this on your website, but you just don't only work with seniors. You work with anyone who decides they want to downsize and live a more simplified life, correct?
That is correct. Yes, we work with families. We work with singles. We will work with anyone who has the desire to simplify.
And I know that we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go over it again. What are some of the positives and negatives of downsizing your life?
The positives are many, in my opinion. I think, though, that people have a hard time seeing the positives until they start down the path. But just a positive to move or to downsize would just be home maintenance. That's usually number one. The house has just gotten more than they can manage. Health issues, you know, no longer as healthy as they used to be, or health issues have come up. So they need to pay attention to those and get into an environment where those can be addressed or made easier on a daily basis. Also, the house no longer fits your needs. So getting in and out of bathtub showers, for instance, or doorways that are not handicap accessible, things like that, stairs. So the features of the home can get in the way of, daily living. Personal income could be lower as well. So, you're on a fixed income, for instance, but things don't stop like increased taxes or utilities. So those are some positives that once realized, they become positives. Those may sound like negatives, but they become positives. The negatives, real quick, just finding a new place to live that meets your needs. Anticipating that cost to move. A lot of people think, well, my house is paid off, clear and free. Nowhere can I live that's going to be cheaper than where I live now. And that's not always the case. That sorting through and making decisions on what they're going to take, what they're going to keep, that's a big stumbling block. So those are just some of the things that positives and negatives.
What I know, many people who are downsizing or maybe transitioning, they may have lost a spouse, and it may be just that one person left, and they want to go back to that familiar home where they've been at. But as you just said, if you've got a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house, you can't just heat and cool that one room. You have to heat and cool the entire house. When sometimes people struggle with that, how do you help them begin to, how do they begin to come to terms with that decision and move on and not be stuck at that point in their life?
Well, one of the things I think that's important is that awareness has to happen for the senior, for instance. Now, when my dad passed, it took my mom, or she waited a year before she downsized, before she sold the house and moved to a retirement community. But it took her that time for her to realize that this house was not where she needed to be. And quite frankly, we worried about her. Her laundry was in the basement. We worried about her falling downstairs. I mean, it was kind of, even though she was, in her late 70s, we still worried about her. So the senior needs to come to the terms where, I'm only using my bedroom, the kitchen, and the living room. And I have a hole upstairs that I block off for heating and cooling. Also, the adult kids can come into play here, making suggestions in a loving way to maybe convince their parent that it's time to look for something more manageable.
And I know that sometimes good intentions are good, and a parent may pass on before they actually have an opportunity to downsize. and then the child is left going through, you know, trying to think about the things that, as we said last time, the four powers, you've got the things that are going to go in the trash, the things that are going to be given to Goodwill, the things that are going to be keep those mementos, but also those things are going to be sold. When should, especially those who may be seniors who are looking at downsizing, start to have those conversations with their children and others that they may want to have things? I know you mentioned last time we were on, you said that I think it was a grandparent, mailed a full set of china to a daughter who was living in an apartment and had no place for it. When should you start having those conversations so people can kind of know, okay, well, they may want me to have this, but it may be something that is out of my ability to have at this point in time, or it's not something that would fit with my how I'm living. I'm living in a studio apartment, and I can't have a full bedroom dresser set because it won't fit in that studio apartment.
Right, yes. It's never too early to have those conversations with your kids. And I think that one of the things that really helps is for mom or dad to actually sit down by themselves first and write out the things. We always say, you're number one, talking to the senior. You're number one. The things that you want to take with you, for instance, if they're downsizing, is important, and that's number one. But they need to sit down and write these things out. If Bill has shown an interest in a particular collectible, for instance, or an antique, write that down. Write down all those notes that you can remember that the kids have made comments about. And then sit down with them, either as a group, if you can, if they're all living locally, or individually, and just let them know that this is a planning stage that you're beginning, and you need to know their interest in anything that's in the home. And as far as furniture that won't fit, that comes down to, well, if you want it bad enough, you're going to have to rent a storage unit, you know, in order to if it won't fit into the home you're living in. But we've seen that happen. So there's nothing out of the realm, evidently, when it comes to some of the keepsakes or the furniture that children want.
Cindy, what are some ways to handle situations where either your child or an adult parent, they may want something, but they don't want to bring it to their home or place of residence? They want you to store it at your place of residence. And we kind of know once you begin to start storing on those items, they not only do they never seem to leave, they begin to grow and multiply.
That's true. Yes. So when you say to your children, okay, we'll pack up the things you want and we'll put them in the basement with your name on the item, you're right. Unless you make the effort to say, okay, it's time to come get your things, they will never leave. So my opinion is, don't even do that to begin with, if you can help it. Now, I know there's times where, say, the adult child lives halfway across the country, and they're unable to have these items shipped, or they want to put it on hold until they're coming back to visit the next time. That's fine, but as far as long-term storage, those things can just hamper future plans for downsizing and moving and getting the house ready for the real estate market.
I know, Cindy, I'm retired military, and we moved every 3 or 4 years. And military members weren't allowed so much in possessions and weight that could be moved without charge. And military families were always selling items, living that minimal lifestyle. How does living that simplified lifestyle increase our quality of life?
Well, I think it increases the quality greatly. We're just not surrounded by so much stuff. We are it's a freeing kind of way to live. We don't have things that are in our way, whether it's things in a room that hamper accessibility through the room, or just visual clutter. So I believe, personally, that it is a great way to live. Now, that's not to say that you should get rid of everything, because that's not realistic. But when we talk about clutter, or the things that just really don't matter to us, we need to get rid of those things.
So, and I know that can be difficult to try to get rid of those things. Where do you suggest that people start when they start wanting to pare down and get rid of things? What's the first step they should look at doing at that point? If they've made that decision in their mind, where should they start?
I would say, and everyone's different, but I would say going room by room, standing at the doorway of a room, and literally being honest with yourself about what in this room can I live without, or what in this room won't be going with me. So it depends. I mean, we have had clients who they wanted to start simple. They wanted to start small as far as their sorting and paring down. So they used their buffet in the dining room as a starting point, going through drawers and cabinets within that buffet. And that's fine. Other people just want to jump in and tackle the biggest job first. So it is up to each individual. But I would suggest starting in a room, one room at a time, one closet at a time.
So would that be the room, maybe the room in which you're living in, your bedroom? Start there first, because then you can see how many coats you have, how many dresses you have, how many pairs of slacks you have, you know, starting with paring down that closet first and kind of going from there.
That's a good place to start, because most of us just have too many clothes. So I suggest to people that they look at seasonal clothing and what fits and what doesn't, what's out of style maybe, or what they haven't worn in 3-4 years, those types of decisions need to be made. But it's a great place to start. Shoes, purses, ties, suit coats, you know, just it goes on and on. But yes, starting in the closet space or closet spaces, because you could start with yours and the master and just go closet to closet, which would be a good rhythm, you know, as far as sorting. But yes, starting in the bedroom would be an ideal place to begin.
So there we've got to start, folks. We start in our bedroom and move forward. So after the bedroom, then the next biggest space, a living space, then say the living room?
The living room or kitchens are always a challenge. So for those who have way too much in their kitchen, too many pots and pans, too much Corningware, again, utensils, it goes on and on. And 3 years ago, I did a kitchen clean out, and boy, was it freeing. I mean, how many pieces of Corningware did I really need? Pared it way back, and I'm ready to do that again. So based on what you use and don't use, the kitchen is another good place to start. And then each room from there, basement, garages, workbenches, things like that.
Okay. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations, and your host, Joseph Jackson. And today, our guest again is Cindy Murphy, owner of Downsizing Simplified. We're going to take a short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM. And today our guest is Cindy Murphy, owner of Downsizing Simplified. Cindy, we've said looking at starting in the bedroom, starting in the kitchen, but how difficult can it be to pare down those possessions that you've accumulated over a well-lived lifetime?
If there's one of the things that we like to tell our clients is, if you're having trouble with a decision about a certain item that you're contemplating not taking with you or getting rid of, set it aside and come back to that. Now, you don't want to do a lot of that, because before you know it, you have a table full of I'm not sure items. So it can be difficult, but with the right mindset, it can be a lot easier. And also with help. So if there is someone in the family, or you hire help that can help you, that can coach you through these decisions, that's also a good thing, to work as a team, and that helps with that decision making.
Cindy, is it expensive to hire someone to come in and help you declutter your home, and make, when you're making that transition, or if you've decided to sell your home in this hot real estate market before putting it on the market?
It depends on how much work needs to be done. And that's why we do free consultations. Just like the one I did this week, I will send them an estimate this afternoon on hours that we are looking at in order to complete the project from start to finish. So given our services, which are pick and choose, you can have someone in for as little as a half a day to help jumpstart the paring down process, for instance, or book them for a week. So depending on your needs, what services you need, and based on a consultation to talk about those needs, will determine the cost of those services. So we work by the hour, and our hourly rate is $40 an hour per person. Now, I know that may seem like an enormous sum, but we are professionals, we're fast, we're efficient, and we get in, we do our jobs quickly. So that, I hope that answers your question, but every company that does what we do or similar things to what we do are going to have their own set pay schedule. So, but that is ours.
Cindy, in some cases, people have situations just, you know, where they thought they had more time, and now they find them in a situation to say, you know, their loved one passed away, and it's the 28th of the month. And in some cases, they've got a short period of time that they have to get done quickly. What steps should people take in that particular situation? You know, in some cases, they may give them an extra couple of days if the person passed away, if they don't have to pay rent on that apartment or that house. What do people need to do if they're in a situation when they find themselves with their back against the wall in a limited time space?
Well, assessing the situation, number one, of course, a lot of times there would be some lenience on, because of a death, for instance, of a parent, to give that family a few more weeks, days, in order to clear out the apartment or the house. The other situation would be, if the house sells, especially in this hot market we're in, cash buyers are everywhere, and they want possession within 3 weeks, for instance. Being able to, there again, this is where a professional can come in and help put that plan together. You have to have a plan of start to completion, and whether that means getting the family all in town in order to take care of it, getting dumpsters dropped in the driveway, whatever that situation looks like. So, again, every situation is different, but it's sitting down, making a plan. And you've got to do that, or everybody's running around willy-nilly, and you know, nobody knows what's going on.
Cindy, about how long does it take to begin to put together that plan of action before you start taking action?
I'll use this consultation we did this week. They are moving in 3 weeks. So what we have to do using that date is back off that end date and then insert the tasks that we have to do in order to make that date. So again, everybody's different, but the closer the deadline, the more frantic the family can be. Or, you know, without that plan in place and things running orderly, packing, sorting, whatever, then things just really can get out of hand. So I can't stress enough the importance of sitting down, taking the time, and making that plan, and then divvying up tasks amongst the family, for instance, is very important.
Cindy, we've seen people start to have auctions when downsizing. How does the auction process work?
Right now, back in the day, auctions were usually done in the front yard of homes. Okay, the auction company would come and take everything outside, set it up, and auction it off. Now today, auctions are done online. They're also done in sale barns, but mostly people have converted to online auctions. Auctions are different than estate sales. So an auction, which if it's a physical auction and you're there in person, your things can be sold in a day, done, over with. The only problem with auctions, in my opinion, is you're not getting as much maybe as you could if you had an estate sale.
And you read my mind. So what is an estate sale and how does an estate sale work?
That's one of our services. An estate sale, if you think of it this way, you've got a garage sale, you've got a moving sale, and then an estate sale. And that's how sales are tiered. An estate sale, depending on the content value, and there's many, many estate sale companies in the Kansas City area, and all of them have different criteria to meet based on what the content value is. So for us, if we take a sale, we have a contract that spells out everything that we will do for that client and everything we expect from the client, because it is a two-way street. So we go in, we furnish all the setup materials, we mark and display the items, and then we have the sale manage it 2 to 3 days, depending on how much content there is to sell. And then on the back end, we align a thrift store to come and take what's left. But if we've done our jobs properly, the thrift store end is taking good things, but not necessarily valuable things, if that makes sense.
It does. So what you're saying is that the thrift store may be coming in and taking things like clothing that didn't sell. They may be taking, you know, pillowcases, maybe mattresses.
Household.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those household items, but not the high dollar items, because those would have sold in the estate sale.
Correct. Yes.
And, well, let me back up and ask this question first. What is the minimum amount of content that someone needs to have to be consider having an estate sale?
again, there's the companies in the area vary. I know of a couple of companies that will take lower content value sales, but the sale is maybe a one-day sale. And it just goes up from there. But our minimum that we require for content is around $7,500 in content value. Now, there's times where we take less valued sales, but an average for us is around $7,500.
And about how long does, as you said, I've driven through places, about how long does an estate sale usually last? Is it, you know, 3 or 4 week process, or is it just, I've seen them Friday, Saturday, Sunday? What's the average?
For us, it's Thursday, Friday, and half a day on Saturday. That's the normal. So, but other companies may just, depending on content, how much there is to sell. I've seen it. We've had them that have lasted 4 days because the house was so full, and we needed to take 4 days in order to sell off as much as we could for the client.
So, Cindy, what one of them says, how long can it take to prepare for an estate sale? I know it's not something you've got to go through inventory, catalog, do a lot of different things. How long can it take to get everything ready to have that, you know, 3 to 4 day estate sale?
It can take up to 2 weeks. Again, depending on what how you built your team, it can take anywhere from a week, maybe a few days to get a sale ready, up to weeks, depending on how big that sale is. And that involves possibly cleaning items that will be in the sale, gathering items. You know, a lot of times the houses, if the person has passed, the houses are left to sit as is. So it's up to that estate sale company to come in and do all that sorting and do all that cleaning before they even begin setting up and pricing. So it just depends on the number of team members and the content, how much there is.
One thing is important, and a lot of, and I've had a friend who happened to have them, is how important is it to kind of know some of your parents' hiding spots? Because you may come in and do an estate sale, and I had a friend who their parents had moved in with them, and they always wanted to make sure they had a little cash, and the family Bible was one of the places they had stashed $1,200 that, you know, kind of looking through those places so you don't inadvertently give away, you know, a diamond pin, a diamond ring, something like that, because it was stored in something else that was sold for a minimal value.
Correct. It's in our contract. Let me just point this out real quick. It's in our contract that if we come across anything of value, extreme value, or family heirloom, or things that we consider to be an emotional or a family tie to an item, we immediately set that aside and contact the family member that we're dealing with to let them know, by the way, we found such and such. I wanted you to know about it. It's up to you to determine what you want to do with it. So that is one thing that we do as an estate sale company, because we would want that done to us or for us if the case was, you know, turned. We have found money stuck in side pockets of purses, shoved way up on shelves. We have found money in books. My dad used a book we called it his ATM. Thankfully, my mom knew about this, but there are many times, like you said, where the family may not know where mom or dad has stashed things, particularly money.
Yeah, that's definitely something that you definitely have to look at. So when you are going to do that estate sale, some people think, well, I can just do it myself. It's gonna all sell in a couple of days, a couple of weeks. I mean, it's going to sell all over the week. It's going to all sell over the weekend. By the end of the weekend, the house is empty. And by the end of the week, the house end is still full. What do people need to think about in the process?
Well, I think they need to think about, number one, time. What is their time? Do they have time to do it right? Being an estate sale company, we have also, how's it going to be advertised so that you get people there to buy your thing? One of the best websites locally and nationally is estatesales.net. That is where we and other sale companies advertise our sales. It draws lots and lots of buyers. Okay. We also do directional signage. But if the family decides to do it on their own, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of hard, tedious work. And they just need to be prepared for that. Do they have time for it? How do they price things? How do they know how to price things? That's another biggie. You know, one of the things we provide is research. If we come across something that we're not clear on, and we've been in this business, the antique side of the business, for over 20 years. So if we come across something that we're not familiar with, we do the research to find out what it is worth. It can be a real tedious task.
We've got a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from? What's your question or comment is for Cindy?
Yes, name is Bill, and I'm here in Hyde Park. The quick question is, you were saying, $7,500, you know, worth of stuff on the estate sale. Is that $7,500 profit for you? Is that $7,500, and what's
gross.
The split?
That would be gross.
Take the answer off the air.
Thank you for calling, Bill. So you said that's a $7,500 gross. How is that usually split? I know that's something that's discussed in the contract, but how does that usually get split between the homeowner or family and the company?
We take 40% of the gross. So whatever sells, we get 40%. Now, that may seem like a lot to a lot of people, but that 40% covers so many things. And one of the most important things is me being able to pay my team members, you know, for all the work that they do. So other companies will charge less, some will charge more. So, but it is front of the gross.
And let me ask this question. Are there companies in town that say somebody doesn't want to do an auction, but they don't want to do an estate sale, that they can call a company and they'll just come in and buy, make a bulk bid on everything and buy everything?
Yes. Those are called buyouts, and we work with buyout companies. The last two clients we've had have not had enough to have a sale. So getting in touch with that buyout person, having them come through and give the customer a bid, keeping in mind that they're not paying retail full price, of course, because they're resellers more than anything. So, yes, buyouts can work for people who just don't have enough to have a sale.
So there it goes, folks. Now you've got the option of having a buyout. You've got the option of having the estate sale. You've got the option of having an auction. And two last questions before we close out, Cindy. I know right now many people use a realtor to sell their homes when they're downsizing. But we were talking about earlier auctions. Can people use an auction to sell their home as well as the contents and kind of get everything done in one fell swoop for that day?
Sure. There are companies that are auction realty companies. So they will come in and they will auction the house and all the contents. And they do, you know, you just have to look them up online as to which ones, but several come to mind. And I believe and this is just me, I think you should investigate both options, going realtor and auction realty. It's just a good way to look at the differences.
So as we close out, do you have any last-minute suggestions for those seeking to downsize their homes and their lives?
My go-to advice is always, it's never too early to start. To start thinking about the process ahead, and, you know, setting your sights on moving forward. And the other thing, too, real quickly, is you don't have to be moving to use our services. So if you just need help with sorting, organizing, those types of things, again, all those services are listed online. But it's never too early to start the process.
And can you provide your contact information and your website again for people that may want to inquire and take a look at your website?
Sure. www.downsizingsimplified.com and the phone number, 816-358-6338.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for being our guest today and coming and doing these two segments. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Councilman Brendan Ellington will have his weekly food distribution today at Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church, located at 3634 Brooklyn, from noon to 2 p.m. So if you know people who are in need during these difficult times, there's going to be a food distribution today at Mount Sinai Church. Jackson County has mailed out their 2021 assessments, and they're coming in your mail soon. They should be already be there. If you receive an envelope from Jackson County, make sure you open it. It will tell you how much your property taxes in your home may go up, may go down, or may stay the same this year. Folks, the deadline to file for the informal appeal is in less than seven days. And you can only file an informal appeal this year by going online at jacksongov.org. Or you can call the real estate unit at 881-3530. So go to jacksongov.org/assessment department. And you see the process. And if those that don't have internet access, give them a call at 816-881-3530. And the Missouri State Treasurer is holding billions of dollars that belongs to Missourians. You can go online and find out if you have money waiting on you. Go to showmemoney.com to search for money that has been turned over to the state in your name or that of a family member. For Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week as our guest we represents from Legal Aid, and they'll be saying what they can do for the family. So stay safe, wear a mask, try to stay dry, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Mm-hmm.